to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am ecstatic, and I mean that ecstatic. This has been a long time coming. Very excited to have Amy Schultz. She is the Smart Girl Money Coach, and here's why I'm ecstatic. Of course, this woman, and when you hear, this is a two-part episode, full 60 minutes, so 30-30. We're going to be talking about money. Why are we talking about money and finance on Fitfluential Radio? I have been wanting to start covering financially fitfluential topics for a while, and here's why. You guys have heard us talk a lot about the impact of stress on our health and how stress, cortisol, all of that can affect losing weight, inability to lose weight. It can affect your fitness results, right? Fitness is not just about how much you burn on the treadmill and what you're eating, whether you're low carb or not. It's a much bigger conversation. And more of us are beginning to become aware of how things like stress and lifestyle choices have a huge impact on our health and certainly our fitness goals. What can be one of the number one causes of stress? Money. And so therefore, some of these topics that we're going to be covering a lot more in the future are going to revolve around money and educating particularly us ladies on money. I don't want to alienate the men and say that you don't have money problems, but typically our female audience, I'm one of them. We have been, let's just say, a group of people who tend to be less proactive about money, tend to have a bigger fear of money issues, tend to be less informed, tend to be less confident when it comes to making money, earning more money, investing money, dealing with money problems, and so on and so forth. And that can create an undue amount of stress and take a toll on our fitness, health, and wellness. That's why we are addressing these topics. That's why we want to educate on this, because the better informed you are on money and finances, both from a money management and debt reduction perspective, but also from a making more money, maybe teaching you how to look into more entrepreneurial ventures or side hustle ventures so you can make more money, save more money, invest more money. All of those are done. We're going to be sharing these topics with the intention of stress reduction, quality of life. That's where we're coming from. So I'm going to let you now sit back and relax and enjoy this two-part episode, this interview with Amy Schultz, Smart Girl Money Coach. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and I am incredibly thrilled to have on the show today Amy Schultz. And she is the author, the guru behind Smart Girl Money Coach. And I hope I'm saying this correctly, because I'm looking at her website right now and I'm getting distracted by everything that is so, I think every woman needs to get to this website. You all have heard me talk about this, and I said a little bit of this in the intro. I have wanted to start a series, Financially Fitfluential, for a while, because one of the things that's become very clear to me in my own health journey the past 2 or 3 years is that stress is such a huge, huge contributor to our results in the gym. Fitness, particularly after the age of 30, is no longer about, 1,200 calories and get on the treadmill. You're going to have hormone issues. You're going to have circadian rhythm issues. You're going to have stress issues. And stress reduction should be of utmost importance. And therefore, two of the things that I wanted to focus on with Fitfluential, expanding into travel and money. Travel, because it's encouraging people to get out there and reduce their stress by taking a break. And then money, teaching women how to address money issues, earn more money, manage money, invest money, learn how to attack debt, and not be scared of money. It's so empowering and it's so stress reducing. And obviously that is why we have this on Fitfluential Radio. So Amy, I am so thrilled to have you. I mean, that's an understatement. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Kelly. This is great.
Well, we are going to dive right in. Like I said, she and I were chatting before the show and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to dive right in because there's so many things I know that we're all going to be educated on. And let me preface this before I start having Amy give us a background for Smart Girl Money. I'm going to share with you that as usual, I will use myself as a real life example for a woman. I'm 49 years old. I think I'm only now becoming confident in managing money, discussing money fears, I certainly can accept what I've done poorly most of my life with when it comes to money management. I accepted the conditioning when I was younger from my family that I was quote unquote not good with money. They would joke because I like to spend money and I let that become a self-fulfilling prophecy no longer. But I will use myself and my own issues so that you can learn and I'll let her coach me live on some of things because I know that I am very common. I know there's many women like me, but before we get into specific money topics, Amy, tell us about Smart Girl Money. Like, how did you get to this place where you have your entire business focused on helping women with money?
Yeah. So Smart Girl Money to me is really like my way to kind of give back after recovering from my own issues with money. And I'm similar to you. I'm like an open book when it comes to the issues that I had, because I think it's so important to help me relate to women so that they can see that this isn't a common, you know, it is a common problem. Like, we're not alone in this. We're all kind of like just trying to figure it out as we go. And for some women, it does end up being like a really big problem and holding them back in areas of their lives. So I started Smart Girl Money after realizing how much my own money issues were really holding me back throughout, you know, my entire working career. Before I founded Smart Girl Money, I was an actuary for about 7 years. So I managed financial risk for corporations. And so I have, you know, I had this strong background in finance, like financial mathematics, mathematical economics. And even with all of that, I was still kind of always just, I always had like thousands and thousands of dollars in credit card debt. I was always living well above my means. I wasn't making progress on my student loans. My husband, you know, we were in the same boat, like it takes two kind of, so, but most of it I think was just driven by my own unhappiness and lack of values. And so I didn't realize that I was having all these money issues and they were trickling into other areas of my life until my son was born. And I had quite a traumatic experience with his delivery. I ended up on life support for the first day of his life. Right. And so when I got home with him, you know, after having this like, oh my gosh, I have this baby, like everything is completely different now. I looked around my house and I could not recognize myself in any of these things that I had bought, really. And that was because I had never really thought about my connection to my money before and how I was using it and was I using it for things that are really going to reflect who I am as a person and all of that. And the answer was that I wasn't. And it just struck me like I had wasted all this time and all this money really just never being able to get a grasp on my money, understand where I was going. And that's when I decided I want to help other women who are in this same boat because of deeper issues with money that they don't understand. So that's where, like, we talk about being scared about money. We talk about, you said that you're a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's exactly right. Like, that's the basis of everything I do, is that I coach women and help them understand that it's not just about, I mean, yes, budgeting is important, but it's not just about being able to budget. It's about being able to understand why you're doing the things that you do with money.
I'm taking copious notes as usual. that's going to be one of my future questions, but you made a really key statement there. And I want you to expound on that because I think a lot of, it reminds me, there's so many parallels. It's funny because while I see that we should focus on being financially fit, mm-hmm. you know, I'm using that metaphor and it makes sense. You need to get yourself in shape. You need to look at your whole, what changes you need to make. There's so many analogies here, but as well, when you said, you were looking back and you were driven by your unhappiness and lack of values in the way that you were spending and not attacking your debt and so on. And it reminds me a lot of what we, with women in particular, a lot of women are overweight because they are seeking comfort with food, or they're a stress eater. I've definitely been a stress eater. I have the weird practice of when I get angry, I immediately want to go and eat the absolute worst food possible. And it's like an immediate, I'm still working with my therapist to figure this out. Why is it that I get so angry? And then I want to go get the biggest cheeseburger and fries and a big brownie. And then afterwards I feel so bad. So it's like, I'm upset about something. And then I make myself more upset and more guilty. It's a very strange thing, but tell us more, you know, with finances. I think it's very interesting that behaviorally we could be, our practices with money could be fueled by unhappiness and lack of values. What do you mean by that? Expound on that.
Yeah. So I think just as human beings, like our nature is that when we feel pain, when something makes us uncomfortable, we want to get rid of it. Right. So our first instinct is to just get rid of it however we can. And so for a lot of people, that means going shopping or, you know, making sure that their home is beautiful. And sometimes those are good things. Like sometimes if you're buying something that leads to personal growth or gives you a safer living situation or something like that, it's okay. But for the most part, when we're doing things like that, it's because we're really ignoring a truth about ourselves that we don't want to face. And so I think with money, it just turns into, I always used to use my money and just buy like pretty things or whatever I wanted. I had no limit for myself because I wasn't looking into, you know, why do I feel so empty? Why is my depression and anxiety so bad? Well, maybe because I'm working 60 to 80 hours a week so that I can afford all these things that I'm buying. And I don't, you know, I don't have hobbies. I don't have a lot of friends because my whole value system is work and money. And so we just kind of, I think, get caught up with ignoring that pain that we're feeling and trying to replace it with making more money. And so we work more and we spend more, and then it's a never ending cycle.
That's so true. And it's, I keep thinking of when I first got into where this originated with my family, saying, oh, Kelly's not good with money, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember starting college at Ohio State and seeing, as I share this example, I want to tell people, I'm not one of those people that's like angry at my parents for things like this. I'm just being very clear. And sometimes I have these discussions with my parents. I'm like, by the way, you know, when we did this, that condition, you know, like it's a cool relationship. This is not me being bitter and I hate my parents. I absolutely love my parents. But I do see how when I was up until I left high school, I'm definitely a rule follower. I'm somebody that never wanted to be in trouble with my parents, never wanted to get bad grades. I never did anything. I never had detention. I never got in trouble. I was never bad grades. I was rule follower girl. And I never snuck out of the house. I didn't drink alcohol until I was 19. I mean, I was just that little rule follower girl. So for me, when I jumped out of that role and that life into college, and I suddenly had somebody telling me, you know, if you don't want to go to class, you don't have to. Mommy's not watching. I started skipping class all the time. And with money, you know, I remember that Capital One and all the credit card companies were like, here's a credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly I had more money than just my babysitting money. I had a credit card. And I got so excited because back then, you know, they handed that stuff out like candy. I'm sure they still do. But they didn't, there was nobody to teach you that, hey, by the way, if somebody gives you a $1,500 limit and you don't make any money because you're in school or you're making $300 a week waiting tables and you're paying rent and car and all of these other things, you've got to learn how to pay that off. And I turned into that girl. We go out to dinner and I know you probably know what I'm going to say. I would let everybody pay me cash and I'd put the bill on mine.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, cool, I have $75 cash and it's just mine. I had absolutely no clue. And so I got in so far over my head, but it reminds me of a little bit of what you said, which is back to what was going on in my brain that credit card debt started to become this thing. And I remember for me, I think it was tied to, I'd had nothing but fences and ropes and rules to follow. And suddenly I was like, I can do whatever I want. I opened up every credit card at every store, Limited Express, Learner, Victoria's Secret, and I maxed them all out. And I remember there would be times that I would go into a store And I was like, well, I've got $300 left on my credit. I'm just going to buy something because I deserve it. And I, it was almost like I thought I had been denied so much of, I don't know. And I went out and I literally had the mindset going into these stores, like, well, I'm just going to spend something because I can. Is that something that's common when people start not understanding money? I mean, I can't say that I have stopped doing that even later in life. I mean, it was like you open up a little power, and even though you know it's spending beyond your means, you do it because maybe it's an impulse. It's satisfying an immediate need. For me, I think it was just, I can do whatever I want. I can have whatever I want, and no one's going to tell me I can't.
Yeah, I think it feels a lot like freedom, even though it's the opposite of freedom to then you're tied down to your credit card. But I think a lot of it too is that we have this, like, we're so worried that there's not going to be enough for us. Like, if I don't buy this outfit right now, I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to have the clothes that I want to have. And so the credit card companies and really any marketing and good advertising, they feed into that because they make you feel like, oh, well, just, you know, sign up for a credit card. And not only can you have this outfit right now, but you'll get 10% off and you don't have to wait. You can do it today. And it's like, oh yeah. And I did work really hard last week, so I do really deserve this right now. And so, yeah, I think it's a combination of just our, I guess, desire to just have things immediately and make ourselves feel better by buying something. And then also these messages that we get everywhere telling us that it's okay to do that.
That's very true. And I think that, you know, what came to mind as you said that, and it's something that I've been dealing with because I see it, and it's really a fine line, that scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never going to be enough. This is the right only time. And especially if you get into a situation, because every situation we'll talk about today, for the most part, I've experienced myself. I'm using myself as a real example. Because truly after college, you know, I got my credit cards jacked up so high that my parents had to help me because I couldn't make my monthly payments. I had so many credit cards. I was maxed out. And I'm still in college, and you know, the collection agencies were calling my parents' house and they're like, what the hell?
Right.
And so we paid them all down, but at the same time, I was adding fuel to the fire because for some reason, my 23-year-old self, when I was coming back to finish college, I decided I was going to go to law school, and I added a second major and several minors. And I told my dad, like an idiot, Dad, I know you've been paying for my college up until now, and this was me needing my power and my independence. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to pay for my school for the last, because I'm going to still go for a while. I'm going to go to law school. So I'm going to get loans. My dad's like, I don't think you should do that. And I wish he would have pushed back a little more. I don't blame him for this, because he says now, like, why did I let you do that? But I did. I got student loans. And again, because I didn't know, I did exactly with student loans what I did. And I bet a lot of women listening can relate to this. I'm not proud of any of this, people. It is what it is. I got the maximum amount of student loans, and I would pay for my tuition, my quarterly tuition, and I would use the extra to not have to work my job as much and to pay for parking instead of doing what other college students did, which is you get your ass down there at 5:30 in the morning and get a free parking space. I'd park in the parking garage and pay $20 a day. And I used my student loan money for that. I used my student loan money for going out. And I kept thinking, well, this is helping me become the Dean's List student that I am. And I did graduate with honors, and I did graduate, blah, blah, blah. But I also graduated with, like, you know, after fees and whatnot, $50,000 worth of debt. And so many women have done the same thing. And then those habits, if you don't face them, they just chase you, and they're perpetuated throughout the rest of your life. For me, I got my first job out of college. They came to me with my student loan payment. They said $800 a month. And I'm like, I was making $23,000 a year. I said, I can't do it. So I kept deferring and deferring. And the student loan companies make it very easy to just defer and mm-hmm. forbear. And you keep adding up thousands of dollars. And it's, I think, just like the credit card companies, student loan debt makes it very easy for you to just make it go away. And it just keeps building. So I'm going to tie my experience then back, because I see the fact that I didn't understand, when you put off debt and you don't face your financial problems, they just grow. I see that as what held me back for so much of my adult life because I didn't learn those lessons until later. Is this something, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you work with a lot of women who are dealing with student loan debt? Because I see a lot in the news about this, about there's just, we're in a state in this country of overwhelming student loan debt.
Yes. When I get a client or I meet someone and it just, you know, in talking, they say like, oh, I don't have any student loans. I just am kind of like, wow, let's just like sit there and appreciate that for a second because it is unusual. Honestly, most women that I meet, and maybe that's just because, you know, being like my target client, I guess, or the type of women that I'm talking to, is that we kind of did the same thing you did, that we took out student loans so that we could really enjoy our college experience because student loans were the easy thing to do. And that's just kind of what everybody did. And so now we just have accepted that we're going to be paying them back until we die. And that's just the way the world is. And so nobody's really like tackling them head on. No one's like putting as much as possible towards their student loan payments because it's so normal to us to just have these, you know, hundreds of dollars added or taken away from us every month because we're just used to it.
Yeah, it's very true. And I don't know, maybe I should ask some of my, I have a niece who's graduating Madison in a couple of months. I should ask her if they teach this, but I certainly know when I was in college. Now I'm old, I'm 49. Let me put a caveat out there. I joke with people, when I say I'm old, I do not mean I really think that 49 is old. I just know quite a bunch of people that tune into Fitfluential Radio are like, you know, early 30s. So I joke, I'm really kidding when I say that. I love my age and I love this stage of my life, the truth being. But when I was in school, I mean, we didn't even have email. So it was way back in the dark ages of going to a psychology class and we were on DOS computers. And yeah, I remember thinking, this is so cool. It's like war games.
I love that.
You know, back then, nobody was talking about money certainly there was nothing to teach college age kids about managing money. Do you know if that's something that's regularly taught in college now? Because I don't think it is unless you're specifically maybe taking an entrepreneurial focused type of a course. But you know, is it up to the parents to teach kids at a young age before they get into college about money? I guess it depends because the bottom line is if your parents don't teach you, it's up to you as an adult. And that's part of what we're doing here, educating you on the fact that you can completely change your money situation and how you deal with money and your money future. But I'm on one side, I will have you answer that question. Do you know if they address that at all in college at all?
That it's evolved. And so in like there's like, I don't remember what it's called, but it used to be like intro to college or something. You know, they have like a basic class where I think they kind of go over with you, like, this is what your college experience is going to look like. This is what if you take out student loans, this is what it's like, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, like you're taking those classes as a freshman, just entering college. And all you really care about is like, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear tonight when I'm going to this new party and like meeting all these people? Like, I don't know. In my situation, I felt like I had all those opportunities to learn about it, but it wasn't top of mind because 4 years away when you're thinking about your first job, it really doesn't, you just aren't thinking that far ahead, I guess. And so then when I got out of college and got my first apartment and all of that, it never even occurred to me to like think about, oh yeah, I'm going to have to pay back my student loans. Like, oh yeah, there's going to be a crap ton of taxes taken out of my paycheck. I need to account for that too. So I definitely think it needs to be done more. But it's hard because how do you get, you know, high school and college students to care about stuff like that when they have so much other things going on?
True. And to some degree, you know, a lot of our parents could be teaching us, and we can choose to ignore or not, you know. So the bottom line is it doesn't have to be taught back then. And these things, obviously there's people like you because there's a massive need. Mm-hmm. I certainly, have no problem saying women in general need to become more financially assertive. We need to face our money problems. We need to become empowered. We need to stop saying, oh, I let my significant other handle all of that. And then I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. I can't tell you how many women I've seen who get married and get that attitude of, well, I let my husband handle all of that. And then there's a divorce down the road and they find out that everything's in his name and they have no money and they haven't worked for 15 years and they're screwed. And they're screwed because they don't know how they're going to start working. And they're screwed because they don't have access to anything, yada, yada, yada. So I'm very excited to empower more women to not be scared. And let's maybe dive into that, because let's assume you're like me, and not to blame my parents. I don't really think, I certainly got the scolding finger after my parents had to help bail me out of the college credit card debt, right? But the truth is, just like you said, I dove into my first job after college, and it was a low-paying job, $23,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I was living in Chicago. I remember that after I paid my bills, I had $200 a month, period. And that's to like cover beer money, grocery shopping, gas, whatever. I didn't, and so of course I deferred my loans, but you very quickly can get into a place where you feel that you have to rely on credit cards, because if I only have $200 left and I need to buy a suit and I need that suit for my job, how else will I get it? Right. Now, some people might borrow from their parents or get money from their parents, but let's talk about most of us, right? So you can start, let's talk about women will start getting that job and they start getting in over their heads, spending beyond their means. I've lived most of my life like that. I am a good earner, but I'm also ridiculously overgenerous with people who work for me, with people in my personal life. I will give until there's no money left in my account. And I don't know what that says about my emotional issues, but those are some of my problems. And I certainly have never really until recently felt empowered to be able to pay off debt. So do you see common traits in women that come to you for money help? Because some of the things that I see on your website, you say, can't seem to save anything. Saving money is about mindset. Do you pay off debt only to have it spring up again? Do student loans have you down? Are you overwhelmed by money? I think those things can speak to so many women mm-hmm. who are listening. And let's talk about maybe, I think we should dive into debt first, because saving, let's address that like after this, because I think so many people might be looking at, I've got debt problems, I'm not getting out of this. It's very, very common. We get a lot of folks writing and asking about this. So how do you start dealing with women who are overwhelmed by debt? Not even, maybe they're to the point where they're getting calls from collection agencies, they're past due, they're overwhelmed because they're logging into their accounts and they say, your minimum payment due is bigger than they can. And I've been there when I was younger, where you just don't even open. You don't open the bills and you think that you're just going to ignore it. You get into a state of fear. How do you start having a conversation with women like that when they're over their head and they're completely scared and they're almost in a case of running from those problems?
Yeah, I think the first thing we do is we have to like take a step back, and that's where we talk about those deeper issues with money. Because for the most part, the women that are coming to me with help with paying back debt, they've been through some sort of debt repayment program before. They've been, they've read or attended, one of Dave Ramsey's classes on getting rid of debt and stuff like that, and it's just not working for them. So for me, it's always pretty obvious right away that it's a deeper issue, and then we have to start talking about, like, what are your values? What is most important to you? What do you spend your money on? Like, what, the things that are that built up this credit card debt, what was that? Like, what caused that? And so we also go back a lot to like their childhoods. Like, how did your parents handle money? How did you grow up feeling about money, or what were your experiences? And so I think a lot of times they come in thinking that I'm just going to give them numbers right away. Like, okay, you have to pay this much mm-hmm. this month until it's gone or whatever. And we get to that eventually. But the very first thing I always do is just have that money beliefs talk. Like, what's really going on? Why do you think this isn't working for you? Like, let's talk about your fears with money and your relationship with money first. And so what ends up happening a lot of times is that we get into like some sort of deep emotional issue that's like, well, you know, I've never been happy with my relationship, or I've never been happy with my job or something like that. And so a lot of times it comes down to where they were uncomfortable, they were in pain, and instead of facing it and fixing whatever the issue was, they just spent more, or like they weren't able to see that the standard of living that they had in their mind was unrealistic. And so they used debt, they used loans, whatever it was, to get them to a place that they thought they should be, even if it wasn't really right for them.
That's so true. I mean, and when you first said that, you know, you have to figure out your relationship mm-hmm. with money. And as you were explaining that, I'm thinking back to myself most of my adult life. I don't necessarily, for so many years, my career was not fulfilling. I always felt I was aiming low. I've always been, before I founded my companies, I was in sales, and I would always take the safe job. So I had definitely had a scarcity mindset combined with a fear that I would never have what I deserve. So I thought I was more talented than where I was, but I was taking the safe thing because I wanted the predictable money. I wanted the predictable right. paycheck. And I never gave myself, it's funny because I always had this attitude of money's going to run out, money's going to run out. But yet that scarcity mindset didn't tell me save money, save money. I just had this like money comes in my pocket, spend it. If I have $20 left, go spend it. If I have extra, you know, I'd pay my credit card. My sister, who's very good with money, would joke with me because I would buy something on my credit card at the limited, and then I would return two things that didn't fit. But if I returned something, I wouldn't let them put a credit on my credit card. I would buy something else, and I would just buy more. And she would joke with me. She would say, go in and just return it. I'm like, but they're taking, like, there's money there. And that's been my attitude. So I think everybody, ladies, I want you to encourage, if you're listening to this, don't be embarrassed. But I mean, everybody's got issues. The more we can become comfortable with, like I shared with you in the beginning of the show, when I get angry, my habits in the past have been get a cheeseburger, get some Oreos and a tub of frosting and just sit down and have at it. I don't know why I do it, but if you can figure yourself out, that's the first step in breaking these really bad habits. This marks the end of part one of our two-part episode with Amy Schultz, Smart Girl Money Coach. Be sure to tune into episode part two.